Plates are still being passed, so that's a good thing. All right. I forgot to announce, but so many things to announce. What a the great blessing is this. You're entitled to a free T-shirt. Here's what it says. Jesus. What? Oh. Anyways, it won't say a one on it. Jesus above everything, a Grace Church. So here's all you have to do to get your shirt. One, you got to be seventh grade and above, because if you're underneath that, you can get one at Awana. We'd like you to go underneath the tent. Just tell us, as I did, I want a double X black one. All right, and they'll sign up, and then you can do that also next week. And what a joy it will be as we live our lives in this county. We're wearing our shirts, and people go, "Tell me about that." That's my prayer. Once again, free T-shirt. If you come and say, "Well, how much?" The answer is free. And so that's underneath the tent, seventh grade enough. There we go. There you go. I'll hold that up. Once again, there we go. See? All right. Very good. Thank you. All right. Let's turn in our Bibles to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we go to your word, that we may be not only hearers, but effectual doers. These words are written for us. Lord, help us to ask your wisdom and your strength as we apply these things to our lives. In Christ's name, amen. It was 500 years ago that one of my heroes of the faith, he had been studying the Word of God. He had been told in his class they're going to study the Bible in its original languages. So they're studying it in Greek and Hebrew. And this young monk, as he was studying through the books of Romans, the book of Galatians, it would hit him as to some of the things that were happening in the church at the time, which simply were wrong. You come to the realization through the study of Scripture that salvation did not come based upon the power of man, but on the power of God's grace. And that is by faith that we are saved. And he had the courage to write some of these concepts down, in a sense, bring into the attention of the church at the time, here's how you're messed up. And I really believe that when Martin Luther nailed those 95 theses to this door in Wittenberg, he very likely thought that's the end of his life, because the corruption in the church was so intense that they weren't going to just roll over, and they didn't. But God protected him. We are here today because of the courage and consistent faith of men and women of God who have gone before us. And I, for one, and I pray for yourself, that you determine, will I be a person in my life of consistent faith? There was a group of people, I remember when I first came to Christ, a speaker at camp told of this example, the true story of 40 martyrs of Sebaste in Lesser Armenia. This happened in 320 AD. And these group of men would come to Christ. They would ultimately call themselves the 40 wrestlers. They were Roman soldiers. The edict would come from Licinius, the emperor, saying, you must renounce any other gods other than the gods of Rome, and you must bow allegiance to those gods. And these Christian men refused to do that, and they were, in fact, told to go out on this frozen lake. And we're still talking about that today. I mean, it's... I remember... when I came to Christ, was it going to be so important to me that if something ever came up where I would say, hey, it's going to cost my life, to be a follower. And ultimately this, for myself as a 16-year-old when I first came to Christ, I never faced going on a frozen lake naked, or I never faced someone with a sword to try to chop my head off, but I did face my friends who expected me to follow and continue the ways of my former life. A number of years ago, it was 5 years ago about, we sent a team, Ray and Judy Raminski, George Speak, to India. I wanted them to check out what Paul Wigg was doing. I love Paul Wigg. He's such a dear, humble brother. And we wanted to start a new program at Christmas time where we weren't just blessing ourselves, because Christmas ought to be about blessing those around us, and specifically the most needy. And if you get, and you're an orphan in India, then you're really needy. And the ministry of the Wigs is so important there. And we supported them by providing beds for kids and tables for them to eat on, and helped a bathroom for the guys. But also, you may remember that we also provided support for the training of church planters. It cost $800 for the training of a church planting couple. And I was so excited that our church was able to come up with money. I think it was about a dozen church planters. And I have followed the ministry of those 12 that we helped pay for their training. And I have to tell you, they went out into a very brutal, brutal world. Many of them, their lives have been threatened on a daily basis. Some of them pressured by the evil around them that they've almost crumbled. Whole villages have turned against them. They have stood strong, because it takes great courage in that part of the world to stand. One of the greatest tragedies of the last couple years has been what's happening to Christians in Iraq. Estimates of hundreds of thousands of Christians being chased from their homes. ISIS and other people will come and put the word N, the letter N, over their door. The word N is a word for the Nazarene. They're the followers of Jesus the Nazarene. And they're being wiped out. I have a map here of the world. And I realized when I put a map up, then everyone, you know, I love maps, so I could look at this all day. So I made a copy for those who want one. And if we run out, they're at the information table. Grab one. It can be a prayer thing for you. Of where in the world is the most difficult places to be a Christian? Which governments are the most anti-Christian? And the number one one is North Korea. We have no idea how many believers there are. But here's what I can tell you. One of the most Christian countries in the world is South Korea. And they have family in North Korea. So here's what I got to tell you. The church in North Korea exists, but it is an underground church. And if you would dare to have a Bible and be found with one, it will cost you your life. You know. And so the issue is this, is that how could these inequities seem to happen in the world today? If you're a Christian in Somalia, and we would gather like this, we'd all be attacked. And so you think, well, gee, why doesn't God just wipe out the bad people? Well, you know, the judgment's going to come. But in the midst of that, God has called us to be strong. The next slide gives some statistics. And I have found statistics that I've got to be careful when I put that statistics out, because I've got to check who put them out. Some have said that in the last 10 years, the average of number of Christians who have been killed or martyred in the world has been over 100,000. And that they're predicting that by you know, 20, whatever, it'll be two. Here's ones that I'm pretty sure about. Each month in the world, 322 Christians are killed for their faith. Somebody walks in and says, renounce Christ or we're going to chop your head off or torture you or we're going to torture your kids or whatever. So anyway, 322 Christians killed for their faith every month. 214 churches and Christian properties are destroyed. We don't hear much about it, but those who are have as part of their radar what's happening in world missions, you know that this is happening. When Sue and I and our family were living in New Zealand, we heard of this much more often, that almost on a regular basis, a monthly basis, there was another church in Indonesia that was being attacked, burned, their pastor burned alive in his car or whatever, and these things are happening. And then we have the statistic each month, 772 forms of violence are committed against Christians, beatings, abductions, rapes, arrests, forced marriages. Now, why do I share that? It's because ultimately this is that how are we to live a consistent faith in the midst of such things? But that's what God has called us to do. I believe that God gave us the book of Daniel, not just to have fun Sunday school stories about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel and the lion's den with cute lions around. God gave us this because he is equipping us through the words of Daniel to stand consistently no matter what happens. Are you willing to be that kind of Christian? Because that's the kind of Christian that the world needs. When Daniel was a young man, in Daniel 1, we find he had a commitment to be separate, to not be like the world as a young man. Chapter 5, as we read through there, him just being sold out. And then here in chapter 6, he's an older gentleman. He's in his 80s, and he hasn't given up yet. He's still saying, Lord, use my life. He is completely surrendered. Daniel has faith and weathered great trials of his faith, but God's not through yet. God is still working in Daniel's life. So today we want to look at the issue of what it means to have a consistent faith. So first we see that a consistent faith for believers is often a threat to the world systems around. I believe this, is that they will hate you because they hated me. Why did they hate Jesus? Because Jesus came with a new system. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus' way, a way of grace and love, of forgiveness, of power under humble control. Friends, a committed faith is a threat. And I believe this is in the future that if it's difficult for Christians in North Korea and Somalia and Afghanistan and Pakistan and Niger and you can just keep listing all those places on that map, then ultimately it's going to get really tough here too. And I don't want to scare you, but I have to prepare you as a pastor. We have to be ready to live a consistent faith in the midst of difficulties, body, soul, and spirit. Now, we have a T-shirt. I appreciate it. It's going to be great, these T-shirts. But here's what I know. It's going to take some small level of courage. You're going to be wearing a T-shirt, and someone may say, oh, you're one of those Jesus freaks. Well, you know, they're probably not going to slice you with a knife or something. You know, they're probably not going to say, I'm going to kill you because you're wearing that T-shirt. Now, if you were wearing that T-shirt in Somalia or North Korea, I guarantee you, put the shirt on and walk down downtown North Korea someplace. And so the issue is that we want to represent Jesus Christ in a loving and bold manner here in Lake County. Why? Because people need to know the Lord. And they're not going to hear about the Lord if we're all very secretive about it. You know, we kind of keep the best for ourselves. So consistent faith is a threat. Let's read this then. Chapter 6, verses 1 to 9. It seemed good to Darius and appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom that they should be in charge of the whole kingdom. And over them, three commissioners, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps may be accountable to them and that the king might not suffer loss. Now, let me explain this. So there's 120 little counties or little subgroups in the Persian Empire. There's 120 satraps, and basically what the satraps were, they were like tax collectors, all right? And three guys were put over the 120 that Darius or that the Persian Empire may not suffer loss, all right? So they were in charge of that, okay? Verse 3, then Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and the satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find ground of accusation against Daniel in regards to the governing affairs, but they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Stop there. That's really the issue. It's negligence and corruption. They wanted to perpetuate negligence and corruption to line their own pockets. Daniel was a man of integrity. He wouldn't do that. Daniel threatened their system, their corrupt system. These men said, "We shall not find any ground of accusation of Daniel unless we find it against him or regarding to the laws of his God." Then these commissioners and satraps came by agreement to the king and spoke to him as follows. O King Darius, live forever. All the commissioners of the kingdoms and prefects and the satraps and high officials and the government have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man beside you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. Stop there. That's a lie. That's a lie. They hadn't talked to everybody. You know who they hadn't talked to? Daniel. Daniel didn't agree to this. So if Darius had been given, oh, you know, we came up with this idea, but Daniel, he says, you know, I don't think we should do that. I bet Darius would have, but it was approached. Yeah, even Daniel's in with this, you know. It's a lie. So here's what I got to tell you. In the world out there that our faith is a threat, don't expect the world to play by fair rules. That doesn't work that way. All right? Verse 8. And now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it may not be changed according to the laws of Medes and the Persians, which may not be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document that is an injunction. Now, let me mention this. The three times mentioned of this, the laws of the Medes and the Persians can't be revoked. Well, one of the reasons that the Persians came and they wanted the rule of law to be a stabilizing factor. They didn't want the dictator or king to be capricious. Hey, I don't like Doug, so I'm going to chop his head off just because he looked at me funny. It's the rule of law. They also believed that the actual king had divine authority, and if he was just changing things willy-nilly, then that doesn't provide stability. And so the law of the Medes and the Persians, you couldn't change it. Okay, so we have to realize this, that our consistent faith is often a threat. As God blesses your life, or God provides stability in your life, many people, instead of applauding, will say, I don't like that because you're making us look bad. I know that there are businesses, construction work, lumber business, other businesses where bids are made and there's phony baloney stuff going on with that and everyone knows it and that's just how it works. And all of a sudden a Christian comes along and they want to do things properly and they're going to be, people aren't going to like you for that, making them look bad. I've been in situations where I was in a situation where I was working hard and I had people tell me, hey, slow down, you're making us look bad. That's the thing here with Daniel. Next thing we know about our consistent faith, first of all, some people won't like it. It is a threat to those. Next, a consistent faith will be tested. In fact, it must be tested. Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:12, all who desire to live godly in Christ will be persecuted. A tested faith. Why is it tested? Because God's not done with us yet. I'm 60 years old. How many of you in this room are older than I am? Raise your hand. Okay, praise God, you can still raise your hand. That's good. Because a year ago, I couldn't raise this one. It got fixed, you know. It's getting better. Here's what I've got to tell you. God's not through with you yet. You may have been a faithful servant for 60, 70, 80, 90 years. He is not finished with you yet. That's his business, right? He's the creator. He's the savior. He's the one who's bringing that sanctification. So let's make sure that we allow our lives to be in his hands. But a consistent faith must and will be tested. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. If you have run with footmen and they have tired you out, how will you compete with horses? If you fall down in a land of peace, how will you do in the thickets of the Jordan? Here's what the Lord wants to do with our faith. He wants to strengthen our faith. He wants us to make us day after day more and more like Jesus. That's his commitment to us. He's more committed to it than we are. His purpose is to make you stronger, to make your life more vibrant in him. The next thing we see, first of all, our consistent faith is a threat. A consistent faith must be tested, and Daniel's is tested here. So how is it tested? Well, let's read this, starting at verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he registered, he entered his house. Now, in his roof chambers, he had windows open toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. Now, let me stop there. Had he just started doing this, I think he'd been praying all of his life. But I think there's some specific prayers. Why facing towards Jerusalem? Because the edict had been signed and proclaimed by Cyrus that the Jews, the exiles, could return to Jerusalem. And maybe he's praying for them, praying that they would have success, praying that they would be safe, praying for God's temple to be reestablished. That's what was happening. And so he's praying, and these are passionate things. And he wasn't going to allow the edict of man to keep him from worshiping God. I understand the challenge of prayer in school, okay? So I won't have a debate about that. But here's what I know. No one ever stopped me from praying in school. I mean, how could they do that? Now, they may stop a teacher from having an official prayer in school. I mean, we may have a debate whether that should be here or there. But here's the thing, is that Daniel said, no one could stop me from praying. And not only that, he realized that there was a lot at stake. He could hide away, say, well, I better pray in secret, because in a little bit, for 30 days, he says, no, there's something at stake here. The name of God is at stake. Verse 11, so he prayed, and then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and supplication before God. That means they had already put spies out there watching to make sure. They wanted him to fall into this trap, a trap that they think they had made. Then they approached and spoke to King about the long injunction. Did you not sign an injunction that any man and makes petition to any god and besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast in the lion's den? The king answered and said, the statement is true according to the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which will not be revoked. Verse 13. Then they answered and spoke to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles of Judah, pays no attention to you, O king. That's a lie. He was the most faithful servant, but they lied about it again. O king, the injunction which you signed, but keeps making his petitions three times a day. Then as soon as the king heard this statement, he deeply distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel. And even until sunset, he kept exerting himself to rescue him. These men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, recognize, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no injunction or statute the king establishes may be changed. All right, so here's the deal. We have Daniel being tested, and he clearly, in stage one, he passes the test. I'm not going to stop praying. Now, he knows that the penalty, if he's caught, is to be thrown into the den of hungry lions. Now, I'm thinking of different ways that I would want to die or not die in lion's den, way down there on the list of, you know, I mean, you got to think, wow, I mean, it just seemed like it would be a bad way to go, really. And so I remember hearing about a year ago a mountain lion killing some goat down below our house. It just didn't sound pleasant. Screaming and all kinds of stuff. And so we got Daniel saying, you know what? Man, I'm just going to lay low for a while. And he says, no, I can't do that. I have to be true to my commitment to my Lord. Well, a consistent faith is a threat. A consistent faith is tested, but also a consistent faith provides you a testimony. It provides you a testimony. Verse 16. King gave orders Daniel should be brought and cast into the lion's den. The king spoke to Daniel, saying, your God whom you serve constantly will himself deliver you. And the stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den. King sealed it with his own signet ring and the signet rings of his nobles so that nothing might be changed in regard to Daniel. Then the king went off to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no entertainment was brought before him, and he slept. His sleep fled from him. The king rose in the dawn and the break of day and went in haste to the lion's den. When he had come near the den of to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice, and king spoke, said to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you constantly serve been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel spoke to the king, O king, live forever. He didn't say, you jerk for throwing me in here, you weak, weakling king. O king, live forever. The king, he was caught up in the peer pressure, which we often are caught up in. He didn't want to do it, but he did it anyway. My God sent his angels, verse 22, and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, inasmuch as I was found innocent before him, and also toward you, O king. I have committed no crime. Then the king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken out of the den. So Daniel was taken up from the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him because he had trusted in his God. The king gave orders, and they brought those men who had maliciously accused Daniel, and they cast them and their children and their wives into the lion's den, and they did not even reach the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Friends, a consistent faith is a threat. It's a threat because Not that we're saying we're better than you. In fact, that's one of the great criticisms of Christians. People go, oh, you think you're better than us. We're not. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What I do appreciate is this, is God's grace has been poured out and been made available. I believe whosoever will may come. And God's the one who calls us to this. And so if I ever have some attitude that somehow I'm better than those who aren't here today, then we can't have that attitude. We're saved by his grace. And so we see this, is that in the midst of living a life for Christ in this world that has thrown off all caution, thrown off all rules, they make up their own rules. When you show up and say, you know, there are rules, that's wrong. And they say, well, who says? I said, well, the Bible, God says it. It's in the, as soon as you say it's in the Bible, then they just freak out. You know, like, well, who wrote the, you know, whatever. At that point, realize this, is that we're supposed to share the truth in love, and I appreciate Daniel's approach here. Next, we know that consistent faith is tested, and Daniel's is tested. He didn't know if he would be delivered or not, right? I don't know why there aren't bands of angels. I know there are. Standing guard on every one of those dear believers in Iraq right now. But God holds on to them. And God has given them a powerful testimony. And that testimony will break the back. It will break the back of ISIS. Because they cannot stand against the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Period. And if part of your testimony is suffering, body, soul, or spirit, some illness in yourself or family or whatever, loss of things, loss of your home, by whatever it may be, here's what I can tell you, is that God has granted you a testimony. And that testimony is to point people to God, point people to Jesus. Here's what it tells us in Hebrews chapter 11. Let me read starting at verse 32 about this testimony. What more shall we say? If time will fail, if we talk of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and all the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, not accepting their release, in order they may obtain a better resurrection. Others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, chains and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with a sword. They went about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. Friends, what a testimony. We're still talking about it today. Don't you want a testimony? Maybe your testimony is that you came to Christ sitting on grandma's knee. You came to Christ after Awana one Tuesday night. Or you came to Christ on a youth event down at Mount Gilead or Alliance Redwoods. Or you found faith in Christ at a men's or women's retreat. I'm not sure, but whatever your testimony is, it's yours. But part of your testimony will be this, is your God's grace and your ability to walk consistently with him through every storm and trial. A consistent faith gives us a testimony. A testimony against our foes, and a testimony with our friends. I'm inspired by the strength that some of you have as you go through difficulties, because it encourages me. And I want to be an encouragement too, to not lose hope. And Daniel was one of those people. He said, hey, I'm not going to stop praying because some edict. When I read the Bible, I read to the end of many times, Book of Revelation, there are some of these edicts, you know. People are, you know, they're going to have to start worshiping the Antichrist and different things like that. Let me give you a suggestion. Don't do that, all right? All right? Bad idea all the way around. Anyone comes and says, put a mark right here and then bow down and get some bread if you do that, don't do it, all right? Now, you probably won't be around, but who knows? Here's the point. People are going to try to get you away from your faith and use the examples of the great women, men and women of God to say, no. I know my faith is tested. I want my faith, my consistent faith, to be a testimony that brings glory to God. Well, got to keep moving here. It's a testimony to against our foes and a testimony of our friends. One of my dear, dear friends, David Brassard. David is with the Lord now. David and I, ever since I was a believer, I knew David. I was in his band, played trumpet in his band. And years later, in fact, his daughters were in my youth group, and he's a worship leader, and he would come down with cancer. Dave was the guy who would walk into the cancer ward to get his chemo and his radiation, and he would go in with walking around with his IV thing, you know, doing laps as you do. And he says, you know, I want to own this. If this is what God has called me to, then I'm not going to let him down right now. And he had a ticket into their pain that many people never had. Now, I don't really want that ticket, but I got my own tickets. And it's because God wants to give us a testimony. And the testimony is to his glory. All right. And lastly, we have a consistent faith will triumph. Let's read this. This is verse 25. Then Darius the king wrote to all the nations and people and men in every language who were living in all the land, may your peace abound. Verse 26. I make a decree that in all the dominion of kingdom of men to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and enduring forever. His kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. His dominion will be forever. He delivers and rescues and performs signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who also delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Verse 28, so this Daniel enjoyed success in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Friends, here's what I got to do. I've read the whole Bible many times. Here's what I know. Jesus wins. And if you're in Christ, you have the victory also. In the weeks to come, we'll be going into the last part of the annual, which is talks about the history of the world, past, present, and future, okay? And we'll get to the point where we're trying to sort out, we know this, that these things are written to prepare our hearts for the fact of Christ coming again. The world thinks that's baloney. We know it's true. But here's what it also says. We must be prepared to live as men and women, boys and girls, with a consistent, courageous faith. Why? Because people are watching us. People who have dabbled with Christianity, dabbled with Jesus. They don't know him, but they will know him because they'll see your life. Consistent faith provides triumph. I wanted to finish the story of the 40 wrestlers. They committed their life to Christ. They called themselves the wrestlers for Christ. And they were like special forces guys. They were told you must renounce Christ and then you can live. If you don't renounce Christ, you'd go on this naked on this frozen lake. And then after you freeze, we're going to burn you, and we're going to scatter your ashes in this river. Okay. So they're sent out. And here's this, as the story goes, it's been told many times, and I think this is pretty accurate. Wait, they began to sing a song. And the song went like this: 40 wrestlers wrestling for thee, O Christ, wrestling for the crown of life, wrestling for the victory. They're out there, it's freezing, they're naked, they're huddled together. Their commander or the guy who was in charge who sent them out there, he made a big fire. He wanted the fire to tempt them back, saying, "You listen, all you got to do is renounce Christ and you can have the warmth here." Later in the night, he kept hearing the song, this leader, 40 wrestlers wrestling for thee, O Christ, wrestling for the crown of life, wrestling for the victory. And later in the night, very faintly, finally he heard a scream and somebody running off, let me to the fire. And it was one, in fact, it's pictured here. See, he's running away, he's in that building. And the guy who was around the fire, that commander, was so overcome by that, he stripped off his clothes and he says, "I renounce Rome, I receive Christ." I mean, that's what happened. And he goes out there and the song persisted. 40 wrestlers wrestling for thee, O Christ, wrestling for the crown of life, wrestling for the victory. And March the 5th, every year, churches in that part of the world, Lesser Armenia. In the Eastern Church, they celebrate the martyrdom of these brave men. I don't know why God didn't send a legion of angels to bring fire and protect them. That would have been powerful too. But friends, for 2,000 years, people have been singing the praises of these men who would not renounce Christ. God wants us to have a consistent Christian life. By living a Christian that kind of a life, it will be a threat to others because they want us to kind of go easy on this Jesus stuff. And we can't do that because Jesus is the only way to salvation. As a result of that in our life, our lives will be tested. Because God's not through with us until he takes us home. That testing provides then a testimony that can be used by God to draw other people. It's our vehicle for the gospel. And lastly, is that a consistent faith always provides triumph and victory. If you're here today and you've never surrendered your life to Christ, then it does take courage. You do that by prayer, and three things are important. One, you admit you're a sinner. You admit your need for God, and you turn to him by his power. That's called repentance. You believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for your sins and rose again. He paid the penalty for your sin. You believe on him, and then you confess him as Savior and Lord. You do that through prayer. You don't have to have a special class. You don't have to call me on the phone. You can do that right now. That's how you get to heaven. You surrender to the Lordship of Christ. 40 wrestlers wrestling for thee, O Christ. Wrestling for the crown of life. Wrestling for the victory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to be men and women of courage, of consistent faith. Help us, Lord, to understand that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Help us, Lord, to have a consistent faith that we may have a powerful testimony, that testimony may bring glory to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. an old hymn, Faith is the Victory. And just for sake of time, we'll just do the first stanza, but it's got a lot of good ones. So here we go. All ready? Encamped around the hills of light, each distant soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night and veil the glowing sky against the foe in veils below. Let all the strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Faith is a victory, faith is a victory, oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Amen. I want you to be an overcomer. I want you to be able to overcome those besetting sins in your life, those things that are tripping you up. I want you to be an overcomer and stand firm wherever you're at in your business and your family, your school, wherever you may be, that you may be strong for Christ. I believe this as we allow ourselves to be a consistent in our faith, that the gospel is spread. It will be a flame that will spread through this land once again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we commit our lives to you. Help us to have a consistent faith, a faith that we allow to be tested and that will provide a testimony that brings honor and glory to you. We thank you that we have a triumphant faith because of your victory. And we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week, and don't forget, get your free t-shirt.